take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
awful times.
Good morning.
Kia ora.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Exchanging pleasantries. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Right, we were just talking books.
We're just talking books and having a bit of a laugh about books.
You know, books can really, the story wasn't so much a funny one.
We've got a graphic novel today.
Graphic novel,
We do. So today I'm reviewing Sabrina by Nick Danaso.
Danaso.
And this graphic novel made a big splash because it was the first ever graphic novel to be longlisted for the Man Booker Prize.
Hold on a second, pardon me, what?
This book was longlisted for the Man Booker Prize.
It looks like an old annual from the old days. It's hardcover there. It's just a cartoon, isn't it?
It's
big. It's not like a little book size. It's like a big book.
It's a beautiful hardback, kind of just a little bit squarer than A4 size. It's called Sabrina.
And Sabrina.
So the shortlist of the Man Booker came out last week, and it wasn't on it, but I still think it was an amazing feat to be longlisted.
Has it ever been? So you say it's a first ever graphic novel.
First ever graphic novel.
There's been some kick-ass graphic novels out there.
Yeah,
I know.
All realms of storytelling.
Yes. So Nick Danaso is 29 years old. He's born in Chicago, the Chicago area. And I haven't read a lot of graphic novels. I read Sin City.
When you say someone's from Chicago, are they Chicagoites or Chicagonoids? Or?
I think they're just American.
Oh, jeez.
They might have a word for it. But I have read it. I have read Alison Bechdel. Do you know who she is?
No.
Oh.
Is she?
She's not part of this book, but if you like Alison Bechdel, I think you would like her. She's actually, if you think the Bechdel test in movies, that's what it's named after her. But I'll put it in the similar field.
What's the Bechdel test?
You know, if you're watching a movie and, you know, if you have a movie where you have two women in a room where they speak to each other, it's like a feminist movie scale of telling whether a movie is like female friendly or not. Or it might.
Okay.
Google it.
Google it.
Anyway, back to Sabrina. So it's kind of like a social realism type story. Has this beautiful opening, no text, and this woman is looking for something. And she looks behind the shower curtain, between the curtains in the lounge and under the bed, and then she goes, there
you
are.
Is she looking in the drawers?
No, she doesn't look in the drawers.
She's looking in the garage?
But I'll tell you what she finds. She finds her cat. And, you know, it's just this really domestic scene, very familiar. And her sister comes over and they talk about what they're going to do for the summer. And then the book turns quite sinister. We then go to an airport and this guy turns up and picks up an old friend, Teddy. And we realise that Sabrina's gone missing. So the narrative kind of turns to this boyfriend who's turned up at his old friend's house to look after him while he deals with his girlfriend going missing. So we have three main characters in the book. We have Teddy, the boyfriend, who's just paralyzed in grief, and he just sort of slumps around this house of his friend Calvin, who's an Air
Force
soldier.
Yep.
And the Calvin's features mostly in the book, so he's between work at the army base, and he never knew Sabrina and doesn't even really know Teddy anymore, so he's kind of got himself into this dark situation and he can't really talk to people about it at work. But we also have Sabrina's sister Sandra in it, so there's incredible gesture in the illustrations and there's like minimal facial expressions, but there's these shoulder slumps and tilted heads. Everyone's rather depressed and it's quite moody, and the colour palettes are so beautiful. Lots of pinks and reds.
It seems like, just from having a brief skim read, that it's got a really like kind of awkward tone about it.
Yeah, for sure. Like awkward pauses.
And just like weird questions. Like I just briefly saw a scene where he said, do you like weapons?
Yeah, he's like holding a gun.
You know, sometimes when you go for a browse like you just did then, a quiet browse on the side there. Just a skim read. And then you hit something like that and you're like, oh.
Well, that's how I kind of just felt.
Wandered into someone's property or something like that. Oh, sorry.
What is this about? And there's like tasteful treatment of night scenes and it's super moody. And
as long as there's tasteful tasteful treatment of night scenes. That's yeah, something I'm always cool. very particular about.
I just love the colours in it. And there are many contemplative pauses throughout the panels. So there's lots of panels that have no text. And
love that.
Quietly mm. show like just a different angle of the room or an empty space, which kind of reminds me of like, I was trying to think like maybe True Detective or something where there's just lots of quiet pieces in it that
bits.
Sets up the
yeah,
scene.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bits and that warrant further investigation.
Mm. Yes, yeah. yeah. And kind of suggest more about what's going on with no words. So we have such creative ways of seeing how Calvin is coping with his new guest. They have these mental health surveys that he has to fill out through work throughout the book, so the stress kind of just goes up. And he's also got his own stuff going on. Teddy is just at home. This is the boyfriend. And he starts listening to, it's kind of like a talkback radio show, but it kind of it turns out to be a truther, like InfoWars type radio station. So yep. they're speaking about the disappearance of this woman, Sabrina, and they don't believe that it's happened. So wow. you're watching this yep. person go through this grief while wow. the media, this kind of alternative media, is telling them that it's not true, or perhaps she didn't even exist. So it's a very domestic book, but it's a book about the internet age. It's very American,
very timely,
and it's about the people who are left behind after a trauma. So it's not so much about, so there's touches of Sabrina all through it, but she's a bit of a ghost, a right. shadow throughout the story, and how she affects everybody else. So I just thought it was so moody when I started reading
it. So what led you into, is this because it was on the Booker Prize list, or because like what, where did you, because it'd be a strange one to sort of just to find, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I did yeah. read it just because it was on the Booker list. I thought,
yeah.
I haven't read a graphic novel in ages.
But then you thought, let's bring it up to BFM where we can spread the word to other like-minded, enthusiastic
yeah.
readers.
You didn't quite realise how sort of upsetting it was.
I had no idea what it was about. I mean, when I look at the cover now, which is sort of this, like, has these silhouettes yeah. of sad people on it, I was like, oh, yeah. That's right. But it's like, I was surprised throughout it, and I was thinking about this review because I'm like, do I talk about the truthers? But that makes it so interesting, and I hope it would make someone want to read it rather than just saying, you should read it. I'm yeah. not going to tell you anything that's in it. Yeah, I think it's such a timely read, and I was quite stoked that it got onto the long list. But not, I haven't read it, lots of other graphic novels, so I'm not sure how it compares to all of the other ones. But if you like...
Well, it must, if it's on the list, it must compare...
Yeah,
really
I think
well,
so.
Like.
I think so. And I think maybe the judges were making a point about the change and, yeah. you know, just kind of freshening up the list, I guess. Mm. But I would really recommend it. And if you haven't read a graphic novel before, or you think, no, that's for, you know, you think of like manga style or kind of like Batman stuff, this could be for you.
Graphic novels are a great thing to hang on to and then revisit after yeah. a couple of years.
Like for sure. And this is so beautiful. It'll be a really beautiful
present. Some people, I mean, let's be honest, readers, you must know people who you think, oh, you'd make a good reader, but they just won't go there, some people.
Yeah.
Some people just won't pick up a book and read it, and yeah. it's, you know, it's their prerogative, but this way you can maybe bridge the gap.
Yeah. You can bridge yeah. the gap. Yeah. And guess how much this is?
$1.20.
A little bit more. $37. So for a really
that's a,
great
that's a good deal. For, price. A, I mean, that's, you're never yeah. gonna, that's never
you
gonna,
could see this, yeah. listeners, you'd think that was a good price.
Yeah, yeah, we'll put a
solid.
Picture up.
Yeah. yeah.
All right.
But side note, I just watched on Stephen Colbert the other day that there's a new mature series of Batman where you see a picture of his penis.
Why would you bring that up in the current climate? Why would that come up at the end of your book, you this know, fine report? I mean,
she's excited about it.
I am excited about it. I haven't seen
oh, well,
it.
Well, if we're going to go there, do you see his scrotum as well? Oh,
I haven't seen the
well, I mean, you brought it up. I'm just
no,
saying.
No, that's not a
what's
segue.
What's the difference?
It's not
but,
a
you know,
segue.
Just letting you
what's
know that.
What's the difference? What's
you have
segue?
To read it and
how
find out, won't
a,
you?
How does
Jenna
a segue?
How
does a segue
say this? I've opened a can of worms.
How would Jenna know what it shows?
Can
she
of
hasn't
worms.
Read it yet.
She just said.
She hasn't read it yet.
I haven't read it yet.
So why would you carry me sure? Someone
she'll let us know.
You down the garden path.
I'm just letting you know that, you know, graphic novels are not what you may think they are.
This is an R-rated graphic novel.
R-rated. Yeah. Not for kids. But Sabrina, I wouldn't give it. If you had a... if you, maybe would you give it to
do you think Sabrina... I just thought of the Teenage Witch when you first told me.
True. Yeah.
yeah, that's what I thought too. But,
yeah.
but then this looks I think the kids love a good dark novel.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
you,
so.
When you get to that sort of, I don't know, if, and you'd know way more than I would, but I'm always surprised at the big selling books for sort of the maybe 11, 12 and up. Some of those are
dystopian stuff.
To dig into some Stephen King when I was like about 13, I'd just be the best thing ever, and I'd just be like, looking back at it, that's some twisted shit.
Yeah. So dark. Like, lots of the kids like Stephen King that come into the bookshop. Do you know who I met yesterday was John Marsden, who wrote the Tomorrow When the War Began series.
Oh.
Did you guys read that? We can get onto that for school holiday stuff, but good.
I think you've talked about that in the past, maybe. No, maybe not.
It's Australian like teen series. Listeners will definitely know what it is, but it's about this group of kids after Australia's been invaded and they've been in the bush in the holiday, and then they come out and then I met him yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Childhood stuff, but yeah. Sabrina, it's great.
I think I studied that in school.
Oh, you probably would have. Yeah.
All right. Hey, well, great Loose Reads. Thanks very much, Jenna. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Loose Reads.